I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Today marks a big moment. For the first time, air traffic controllers will miss a full paycheck. The uncertainty is starting to take a toll. Just yesterday, more than 3,000 flights were delayed across the country. Some of that was weather related, but the DOT says as many as half those delays were related to the shutdown. Some controllers are calling out sick in protest or working second jobs to make ends meet. The largest union representing federal workers is calling for the shutdown to end so they can get paid. Here at SEA, you might see air traffic controllers handing out leaflets today. Their union says it's happening at nearly 20 airports nationwide to let travelers know how the shutdown is impacting safety and operations.
Safety is the key part there. Safety, how it's affecting safety. Operations, your flight's going to be delayed. And delayed at one end means you may not make your connection at the other end. Very few of us are going places where you can have a direct flight nowadays, or if we do, it costs more money than we want to spend, or there's just no easy way to get to where you want to go. I'm going down to see my brother down in Texas, Tyler, Texas, east of Dallas, about 80 miles. I don't want to rent a car in Dallas and drive the rest of the way. I want to take a commuter flight over. Now, I can get up at 5:30 in the morning. I mean, that's when I catch the flight. I've got to get up earlier than that. Or I can wait and catch a 1 o'clock flight and arrive there at 6 in the afternoon with a almost 4-hour delay in D.C. I mean, in DFW. I'll just do that. I'll find a way to chill out with some margaritas or something. You know, I'll take it easy. But the other thought I had is, if I time it too close trying to make a connecting flight, my flight out of here might not be on time. So it gives me more time to get to the connecting flight, assuming it leaves on time. You're going to have to be making these decisions as well, my friend. With you, your friends, your kids coming home from college for Thanksgiving, are you going to see them? I know my oldest grandson coming home from the University of Miami out of Florida. He's indicating, he's really excited he's going to be able to come and thinks they're going to have everything go well. Well, that's always good to have that opinion, it's going to go well. I used to like to fly. I really did. And, of course, then came all the concerns about TSA checks and everything else. And I would say sometimes in a joking manner, because obviously there's a lot more to be concerned about, if I had no other reason to be upset with the terrorists, they were making me take my shoes off. Well, now they're past that. You don't have to take your shoes off. But they're still, of course, always involved in some way to interfere with air travel and make it a little more difficult. Now we have stoppages because of Chuck Schumer. Do you think, riddle me this. Do you think Chuck Schumer, if he decided to go from D.C. to Florida, that he will not get there on time? Might be a private jet, might be a government jet. Make an excuse for making it government business. I really wonder how many Democrats, especially the hardcore left Democrats, are going to find their flights for themselves and our loved ones are delayed over the holidays. I've told you previously, I truly believe that they would put an end to this Schumer shutdown before Thanksgiving. But if they do it 2 or 3 days ahead of Thanksgiving, too many things will be in motion. It cannot change overnight. We already have a report of 8,000 flights today, that were delayed for one reason or another. Part of it doing with weather, obviously, but obviously part of it doing with controllers not going to work. We're not being paid. Do you want to go to your job every day and not get paid? But this is a serious domino cascading event that could lead to tragedy. If your flight is late, so be it. If your flight never makes it to the destination because it collided with another flight, that's an entirely different story. I am not, and I stress, trying to put fear into you. I'm telling you reality of the situation. If we have fewer controllers trying to manage the amount of flights in the air, the bigger issue it's going to be. I had an app on my phone that I could open up called FlightAware. And I could see flights all over the nation, wherever they were. If they're a flight, they're putting out a transponder code, indicate where they are, what height, what speed they're traveling. If I knew a particular flight, I could isolate it. But I'm telling you, the map of the U.S. was covered with little green airplanes coming and going. Sometimes the same corridor to the east, to the west, sometimes a little bit different. And then everywhere else, there was hardly a space on the map that was free of a plane at any time. It is extremely stressful for controllers to begin with. I know a couple. And I know it weighs on their mind all the time that, you know, I don't want to be in the tower if something goes wrong. I don't want to be responsible in any way. So if you're not giving them pay and some are staying home, it's putting more work on those who are in the tower and more stress on them. The next option is cut back the number of flights. Well, that infuriates the public. I want my flight. Why is my flight canceled? Because we couldn't handle yours and 40 others at the same time. So I will ask you, if you're traveling this holiday period coming up, even if this is resolved tomorrow, all of the kinks may not be resolved by Thanksgiving travel time, be it that Wednesday before or even the week before. Don't take out your ire and your anger against those at the gates or the flight attendants. The blame goes directly where it should go, and that is the left that has been hijacking the Democrat Party to make them go more left, and they don't care if you end up suffering in the process. They don't mind at all that you end up suffering to any extent. They will do everything they can to make sure that you are the one that ends up dealing with it. Now, why would they want to do that? Because they think it gives them leverage. They truly do. They think that this is going to give them an opportunity to do everything they want. Welcome to Larry Connors USA. October 29, 2025. And reminding you, when we are on the air, we are giving you not just news, analysis, and opinion, but we are giving you education. You will walk away from this program with more knowledge than you have right now. I'll make sure that we do. And I tell you, we have so much information compiling, I'm having to actually ask Jerome to leave his chair, his control chair, and go down the hall because my printer stopped and pick up the copy for me from another printer so we can proceed with the program as we plan. Yeah, we actually put planning into the program. I know sometimes it seems like you're just throwing balls in the air and catching them. When I do it, it's not balls, it's not even knives, it's not just axes, it's electric cutters, and I'm trying to catch and balance them. Thank you, Jerome. But we're going to give you news, analysis, opinion, and education. Later in this hour, I'm going to share the story with you about a private investigator who has a fascinating story of a man who killed his wife, his children, their dog, and then slept with them. Why? We're going to get into that a little bit later. Back to the issue dealing with air control. You're hearing about the flights delayed. I want you to hear now from the Air Traffic Controllers Association President, Nick Daniels.
Day in, day out, that's now the life of an air traffic controller. The people tasked with making the impossible possible are having it made impossible by not paying them again. So the message is simple. In the shutdown today, there is no excuse that these hardworking men and women are showing up to do this job and to not ever know when they're going to get paid again. So we need America's help. We need you to stand up, and we need you to say enough is enough in this shutdown and ensure that we can move this forward, because we do not want to be up here telling you the sad stories. We want to be up here telling you how we're moving this system forward, how we're bringing in more air traffic controllers than ever, how we're modernizing this system to, you know, serve the American people. So again, you cannot stress enough. If you want to take action, contact your congressional representative and tell them in the shutdown today.
Yeah, and start with Chuck Schumer. Chuck is not suffering. Or Hakeem Jeffries or the rest of them that refuse to go sign off on a clean resolution bill. They want to shove more money in for national public broadcasting, more money for transsexual surgery. And we've said, no, we don't want that. Let's just go with this. Everything they're pushing, is it to your value? No. But they have what they call a leverage point, a leverage where they can put a little pressure on you. The minority whip in the House, Daniels, admits that, and even Delaware Senator Coons.
I mean, shutdowns are terrible, and of course there will be, you know, families that are going to suffer. We take that responsibility very seriously.
No, you don't.
But it is one of the few leverage times we have.
Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the White House. Frankly, this is our only moment of leverage, and although a very unpleasant tool to use.
It's an unpleasant tool to use, but we're going to use it anyway. We're going to make the American people suffer. We're going to make them suffer. And that's what you're doing. And now money is being cut off for those under the SNAP program, the Supplemental Nutrition Program. Ag Secretary Brooks, or Rawlings, I should say.
100% unequivocally, USDA does not have the $9.2 billion that it would require. There's not just pots of $9.2 billion sitting around. And what's particularly rich about New York saying that, or California, or any of these other blue states that have filed the lawsuit that say, oh no, we're going to go, you guys, USDA, go find the money, is it's their very friends, partners, colleagues, Democrat elected officials that continue to vote over and over again to keep the government closed. Again, shame on them. I cannot begin to understand what they're thinking. Even their own union, right? Even their own federal government employee union, I don't know the exact name, is urging their own Democratic leaders to open the government back up.
Yeah, their leaders are urging them to open it up, but they're not listening, because I said it before and I'll repeat it over and over again. Right now, Democrats, loyal Democrats, and I don't mean crazy Democrats, loyal Democrats, their party has been hijacked by the leftists. And they're being extorted right now, and they're being used as a weapon against you, the American people. And then you look at our U.S. troops, what kind of money are they going to be getting?
I don't know what good it does to summon them to the White House. You know, this is a Democratic-led boycott, and I'm just not sure what they're doing. What's changed between now and March other than Chuck Schumer's poll numbers? And you know, I think Hakeem Jeffries is now going to be primaried from the left, and I didn't think there was a lot of room over there. So both of them are worried about their primaries and not the American people, not the government employees, not our military employees. Because we were able to pay the military employees from excess funds at the Pentagon. Middle of this month, I think we'll be able to pay them beginning in November. But by November 15th, our troops and service members who are willing to risk their lives aren't going to be able to get paid. What an embarrassment.
What an embarrassment. What an embarrassment. Now, if the left believes they're making inroads with the Democrats to beat back the Republicans, Harry Enten, CNN, says here is the picture.
Well, you know, Matt was mentioning about the econ playing such an important role in last year's presidential election, the top problem facing the U.S.'s economic per Gallup. Last year, look at this, 43% at this time, 43% of Americans said the top problem was economic. Come to this side of the screen. It's just considerably different. We're talking about 24%. We're talking about a drop of near 20 points. And more than that, we're talking about across all of the different political groups, right? Democrats, independents, Republicans. We see that the percentage who say the top problem is economic has been falling through the floor. And more than that, you know, we're talking about inflation. The percentage of Americans who say that the top problem is inflation has also been falling, which is, I think, very much surprising given all the news that we are hearing about the economy.
It really is surprising. How does this compare to, like, the historical look at how people feel about the economy?
Okay, so, you know, let's talk about, we'll go through history, right? Let's take a look. The top problem facing the United States is economic. In the average midterm election, It's 35%. Look at where we are now. Again, it's 24%. It is lower. Fewer Americans right now are saying the top problem is economic than historically have said that the top problem is economic. So it's not only that the top problem being economic is lower than we were at this time last year. It is lower than we have historically been, despite all the news about how the economy is supposedly softening.
And the American public is suffering. But they're not blaming the Republicans. Chucky, it's on you and those around you. And again, as I said earlier, you can push your peas around your plate, choose which bite of the steak you want next, but the American people are suffering and they're blaming you. And rightly so. Coming up, I've got a guest, an interview, who just released a book. It's a true book based on a true crime. He's an L.A.-based private detective about a man who killed his wife and their two children, then lived with their bodies for 4 weeks. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's my only jeweler. vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The date was December 2019, actually December 14, following a school holiday concert by two young brothers. They went home with their mother and father, and they were killed that night. The father charged with murdering his wife and their children, not the two boys, but also another child, Zoe, the age 4. Joining us now to fill in some of the details and the gaps, a private investigator with extensive police credentials, Niles Grenville, Los Angeles-based private detective. Welcome aboard, sir.
Well, good morning, Mr. Connors. May I correct you? My name is Nils Grevelius.
Yes, thank you.
But that's okay.
No, I'm glad you did.
That's all right.
As soon as I looked down, I realized I'd mispronounced it, Grevelius, and it's Nils. Thank you very much. So, first of all, what was the motive for the crime? And obviously you're attracted because of the storyline, but how did you come across the story to begin with? How did it unfold?
Well, I've been investigating a lot of things related to psychosis. Murders committed in the throes of psychosis, and that's what this is. This man didn't just murder his family. He then lived in the house with the dead bodies as they dried out in their beds and slept in the bed with his dead wife.
Yeah, that's a psychosis, all right. But okay. what pushed him to the line to do that on that particular date?
Well, I'm going to say something that's controversial now, but more and more talking about it. Mark Siegel on Fox News, their expert medical guy, talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I think it's cannabis psychosis. In other words, a man pushed into paranoid schizophrenia by dint of high concentrate THC cannabis or cannabis, you know, THC vape, that kind of thing. I'm seeing more and more of it on the streets of Los Angeles with people with no prior history of mental illness suddenly in the throes of paranoid schizophrenia, where they are unable to discern a real threat from a fake threat.
Now, you did push a hot button for a lot of people to say, what's wrong with cannabis? It's being legalized in a lot of states, and a lot of people are using it.
Well, okay, some people can use cannabis with seeming impunity. But anybody with a family history of paranoid schizophrenia should run like hell from cannabis. Paranoid schizophrenia, when it's organic or naturally occurring, typically takes hold between age 16 and age 26, let's say, right in there. This man was able to successfully have a family, function in society, had a job, and then suddenly in his 40s, he is so in the throes of this that he feels the need to murder his entire family and then bizarrely live in the vacation home with the murdered family.
Now, he was 50. Asked, he was 50 at that time. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
You're supporting my thesis, Larry. Suddenly, at that age, he murders his entire family and attributes the murder to his wife.
How did that play at that time with the investigators? How did they look at that?
Well, they're going to look at it as a straight-up homicide, okay? His psychosis doesn't take away his responsibility for the murders. If I'm perceiving a threat that isn't real, and I've pushed myself into psychosis by dint of using cannabis, did I use the cannabis to release the man that I always was, or did the cannabis reveal a new man? Those are the things that need to be sorted out here.
And
to a homicide detective, it's just homicide.
Yeah, and he did not commit suicide, though. So he was the only one still alive in the house.
That is correct. And now, he lived among the corpses.
The children were 13, 11, and 4, his wife 42. So he kills them and then stays in the house in Celebration, Florida for a period of how many weeks?
At least 2.
What do we know about the order of the killing and how it was carried out?
I don't know that part of it. I know that it was undertaken in such a way as that all could be killed. And I think that, you know, that part of it's fairly obvious, whether he used a gun, a knife, his, garden tools, whatever. The part that is most compelling about this to me, Larry, is the man was normal right up until then, or seemingly normal.
And then living weeks with the bodies and even sharing the bed with his wife and daughter?
That is correct.
That is beyond comprehension.
Right. That is a deep psychosis. And I'm going to say that this was relatively sudden onset. This is a man who had a nice family, had a job, could afford a home, a vacation home, all of these things. And suddenly he's pushed over into this.
So he's...
There are people who believe that cannabis is harmless. And for many people, it is relatively harmless. And you can never completely do away with cannabis. I mean, God knows the government has tried for 100-something years to get rid of cannabis. But I think our government should be leading a psyop against cannabis like we did with tobacco, where we reduced adult use of tobacco from, say, 50% of the adult population in 1988 to 11% today.
And how would that compare with cannabis now, as we have more and more cannabis stores opening? And, of course, they're farmed now, so supposedly they're not sold with anything like some of the various drugs or toxins that might be attached to them. In other words, they're getting them fresh off the farm. They're not being filtered with fentanyl and things of that nature. Would that have been part of the issue?
Well, I don't think fentanyl had anything to do with this. Part of the problem with cannabis, though, Larry, is the people distributing it are often cover for organized crime. In other words, somebody with a clean record goes on the license, but the person who's actually behind the operation often has a long criminal past.
That's a very big statement. I would call some for some. They would say slander and slurring them at the same time and come after you for charges on that. You have written that in your book,
bring
though.
It.
You put that in your book, though, right?
Bring it.
Yeah.
That is correct. Bring it. If somebody wants to come after me, they are most welcome to do so. I've got a female neighbor who fronts for 3 different cannabis dispensaries in the metropolitan Los Angeles area. She's allegedly the owner of them, the operator of them. She's the licensee. She sits around her house all day smoking cannabis, smokes cannabis in her car, in the driveway, that sort of thing. She never goes to work. She's the name on the license.
All right.
The guys actually running the place are gangsters.
All right. The other thing is alcohol can lead to the same murderous spree that took place here.
Larry, you're precisely correct. And what cannabis and alcohol have in common is they don't affect everybody the same. There are some men and women who can drink with impunity, and there are other men and women who will fall into a sewer when they drink.
I just keep going back to these children. They had just, the boys that night had performed at their school holiday concert. They were accomplished musicians despite their age. And then, in fact, the older one, the 13-year-old, got a commendation for his performance on piano and violin. His brother gets a work accomplishment for his work on piano and guitar. And then they have their 4-year-old sister. I can't imagine the horror that snapped in that house that night.
I agree with you, Larry. It had to be something pretty profound in terms of the psychosis that gripped their father.
Was there any evidence presented as to who died in what order and how the crimes might have been carried out? It was not a gun.
I don't know. I haven't been given access to the crime reports. And much of it would be speculation.
But there was no
man who is convicted now, I don't think can be an effective witness against himself, even if he was frank.
That's another issue there as to mental capacity. I mean, obviously, would you agree that his mental capacity was diminished at that point?
Yes, well, when psychosis takes hold, paranoid schizophrenia isn't well understood. I can analogize it, Larry. It's like being lost in a labyrinth of mirrors, yeah, where you are reflecting on yourself at all times. And the more disordered you are from the psychosis, the more distorting the mirrors are, like funhouse mirrors.
Is there any way for
those? And there's no way out of it.
Is there any way for those around them, even in the family or as a stranger, to take note of something that might be, in the last 20 seconds, a warning sign?
Well, I don't know about that, but paranoid schizophrenia, when it comes on, people perceive threats that aren't real. I had a case a few years ago involving a very successful woman who ran a women's recovery facility in Los Angeles, okay, very respected in her field with a master's degree. And suddenly she believed her own 13-year-old daughter was not hers, that she was a changeling.
We will have to come back to you on that subject, sir.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, ShawRealtors.com. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So here we are. We're less than 2 weeks. Two polls out this week, the Washington Post, Suffolk University, and you are trailing anywhere between 5 and 10 points. Do you buy those numbers?
Oh, no. And you know who else is buying those numbers? My opponent, Abigail Spanberger. If she really believed those numbers, she would not be bringing out all the people that you see she's trying to bring to Virginia. I just heard she's bringing Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania. I mean, really. So you know what's we know that she knows? I'm either 2 points down or we're neck and neck or I'm 2 points ahead.
That is a very tight race. We're talking about the Virginia Lieutenant Governor's race between Winsome Sears, who served in our Marines and also served in the House of Delegates from 2002 to 2004, served as Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, first black woman to do so since 2022. And now she's facing a 2026 governor's election. And her opponent, Spanberg, has some baggage that she's trying to walk away from. Abigail Spanberger, I should say. She has been trying to attack on Sears on anything she can, but she's got to be very careful. There have been remarks made about the death of Charlie Kirk that, according to those who were witness to it, Spanberger kind of had a rolling her eyes like, kind of give me a break, another Charlie Kirk story. That is a perception, not a fact of what she believed or didn't believe. But she has had a scandal-plagued campaign. She continues to stand by the Virginia Attorney General candidate, Jay Jones. This is the guy who has clearly stated in text a couple of years ago that have since been uncovered, I'd like to see a political opponent shot dead, his children killed in front of their wife and falling into their mother's lap. And you know what he says now? Oh, my bad. I really shouldn't have said that. You think, well, just because now you're caught that you did say it and you want to claim you didn't, should not have said it, doesn't mean you didn't believe it. And she will not denounce herself from Jay Jones. So she's running as a Virginia candidate for governor against Winsome Sears. The vote is still, I can't understand why, it's very tight. Spanberger continues to hold a narrow lead of just 2 points, but there is such swings back and forth that's well within the margin of error. I cannot believe that other Democrats who've also come out and endorsed Jay Jones as the governor of Virginia are willing to endorse a man who basically has said, I wanted that political opponent shot twice in the head and his children shot so they would die in their mother's arms. Now, again, this is not directly aimed at Spanberger, but the people you endorse and the company you keep, it's right back to that old story. You lie down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. Winsome Sears have been trying to take a high road on it, but the problem is there are constant pressures from the left and others looking for a way to tie her up in some way. One of the things she has said, she's very big on Second Amendment rights. And she had made it clear that as Virginia Lieutenant Governor at that point, she wanted to do everything she can to protect Second Amendment rights. And in fact, made a point of saying, there are many, even in my party, that are against blacks having guns. Winsome Sears is a black woman. As I said, she put in time with U.S. Marines. She has a Republican nomination to replace Glenn Youngkin. She's also signed Virginia's In Progress Reproductive Rights Constitutional Amendment. But at the same time, according to the Virginia Mercury, while she did sign the In Progress Reproductive Rights Constitutional Amendment, she does have personal objection, as she put down in a handwritten note on the bill. As president of the Senate, she is legally required to sign bills the legislature passes, but she does not have to add any comment to her signatures. With documents obtained by the Mercury of covering Virginia politics show her explanation for why she is against the effort to protect reproductive rights like abortion, in vitro fertilization, and contraception access in Virginia's Constitution. She wrote above her signature, "I am morally opposed to this bill, no protection for the child." That's the second known message that Winston Earl Sears has pinned on a bill she signed but disagreed with. The first being her note of objection on a bill last year that would prohibit officials from denying marriage license to same-sex or even interracial couples. A Sears campaign spokeswoman says that she has no additional comments at this point on these things. Why is she taking this approach? Abortion access is the most politically divisive issue in the state of Virginia. Democrats trying to shore up protections. Republicans largely support anti-abortion measures. Some GOP members of the Virginia legislature have carried some life at conception bills. In the 2023 election, many supported a proposal blocked by Governor Youngkin to ban most abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy, with the exception for rape, incest, life-threatening situations. It did lack fetal anomaly exception, several which are not diagnosed until after 15 weeks. In other words, something might be wrong with the child, might be born with Down syndrome or some other issue. Her gubernatorial candidate, Abigail Spanberger, is in support of full reproductive health care access, abortions, contraceptions. And that divergence on that issue might be the deciding division between the two of them. But I still can't get past why she, Spanberger, wants to run to become the Attorney General of Virginia, and she's supporting a Democrat, Jay Jones, who has not really withdrawn his remarks about killing a political opponent and hoping their children will be shot and die in their mother's arms. He just said, "I made a mistake making those remarks." Do you hear anything of contrition? Do you hear anything that how horrific that kind of passing remark or thought was? And I don't care now. He can come out and do a song and dance for me and say, "I'm definitely against what I said, but you said it. And you've been very timid about walking away from that area." Politics can bring out the best of some and the worst of others, and sometimes the best and worst in an individual. But the state of Virginia, I am absolutely ashamed, much less appalled, that they would still consider Jay Jones as their candidate. Hakeem Jeffries is with him. Oh, yeah. And other Democrats, power brokers, are still siding with him. You know why? Because they want to control Virginia. Say whatever you want as long as we can get you through the door. And that's what they're trying to do. And Winsome Sears, as Attorney General, would be battling him every step, every day. While her opponent, Abigail Spanberger, would just say, whatever you want, Governor, I'm here for you. You look at that and you look at what's happening in New York City. I will never forget in a court case where a judge is asking the attorney something about there's a lot of squirrels around here. And the attorney, without batting an eye, said, well, Judge, not all the squirrels are in the forest. Said it directly, got a big laugh, had to be gaveled to silence. In the meantime, we continue to deal with how we're going to pay our troops, but at the same time, while they're not on the ground and do not plan on putting any boots on the ground, no boots on the ground for the U.S., the Middle East peace talks and the Middle East peace plan is holding together by a thread.
The president achieved a historic peace in the Middle East. The ceasefire is holding. That doesn't mean that there aren't going to be little skirmishes here and there. We know that Hamas or somebody else within Gaza attacked an IDF soldier. We expect the Israelis are going to respond. But I think the president's peace is going to hold despite it.
Those are the words of Vice President Vance. He says the Israeli-Hamas flare-up, I think this ceasefire will hold. Trump has said nothing is going to jeopardize the Gaza ceasefire. He's quoted that way in the Jerusalem Post. Vance is downplaying any kind of Israeli-Hamas flare-up and still argues that the ceasefire is holding. One source in talking about how much it's holding, admitting there are quote, skirmishes here and there. He had to admit that the Israeli army did launch a series of attacks against the Gaza Strip Tuesday morning following orders from Prime Minister Netanyahu to immediately carry out forceful strikes that was aimed at Hamas for violating the truce. You have a ceasefire, and yet you don't have a ceasefire. The numbers that you're given regarding the number of dead in Gaza really depend upon the source. And if you're relying on numbers provided by Hamas sources, it's dastardly. It's basically everybody in Gaza been wiped out, women and children. We know that's not a fact. One source that might be considered more reliable says that Israel has killed more than 68,000, mostly women and children, since October 2023. But I remind you again that that has happened because the cowards of Hamas hide under baby beds, hide behind women's dresses, thinking you will not come after us because you end up killing Israelis. And I remind you again that members of Hamas have been turning their guns ever since, quote, the ceasefire started upon their own people, killing Palestinians that did not follow the hard line, that they considered sympathetic to Israel. There's no peace even among the people. Update for you on Hurricane Melissa. They're reporting at least 30 known dead in the Caribbean. 25 of them dying in one area where the hurricane made landfall. But they're again looking at least 30 are dead, and I'm telling you, the number will be higher. They had evacuated some 25,000 to makeshift shelters in advance of the hurricane hitting. But there's not a lot of shelter room in Jamaica when you have a Category 5 hurricane. The eye passed right over Jamaica's western areas. The capital city, Kingston, if you've been there, it was spared, the most severe damage. But as they began to get in and take a closer look, I'm afraid they're actually going to find many more dead. And who knows how many washed out to sea. As always, thank you for listening. Like to have you join us again tomorrow. Don't forget our story behind the story, wire detector test, and our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.